Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Hey, it's Erin Barnes. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I am doing good. Thank you so much for letting me give you a call.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. So I was really excited about this chat. It's like the second time this school year, maybe it was this summer, but we have not really talked about libraries much in the last few years, and there's all of a sudden been a mad rush on it, and so... but I think it's something that needs to be talked about. And so what made you want to do this chat?
Well, first of all, I'm chair this year of Oklahoma School Librarians.
Okay.
And we were really wanting to get the word out to the rest of the state about just the challenges that school librarians are having right now. And so we were really excited when Vanessa Perez had scheduled her chat on library resources, and we thought, you know, this would be a good time for us to follow up on that and get the word out about what school librarians do, because we feel like there's a lot of misinformation about the role that school librarians are supposed to play in our schools.
Yeah. So what do you think some of that misinformation is? What are some of the quintessential wrong thinkings here?
Well, for one, and we, the members of OKSL all discussed this at our board meeting. When we looked at the Twitter chat that Vanessa led, we saw that a lot of people only associate librarians with checking books out to kids. And, you know, reading books is very important, of course. I mean, we're supposed to connect students with great literature, but that's not all that we do. And I think that a lot of times schools don't necessarily see librarians as teachers, and we are.
Yeah. Well, good. So what were some of your favorite questions? Do you have a favorite question that you asked that your answers were like, okay, there we go?
No, a favorite.
I can't really think of a favorite.
I was happy to see, though, just a lot of the responses that we were receiving from some leaders around the state, because Superintendent Hoffmeister participated the entire evening when we did our Twitter chat, and I really liked that she was focusing on professional development, ways that we could try to support professional development for our school librarians. And I liked the comments when people were saying, you know, our students deserve to have school librarians, and so many of them don't, unfortunately.
Or
so
have to
share with
other schools.
Go ahead.
No, or have to share with other schools.
Yes. You know, in fact, not this school year, but last school year, I was serving two campuses in my district, and we had done that. It was a decision our central office administration had made the year before to try to save money. When a librarian retired, she wasn't replaced, and instead I took over her campus with the help of assistants. And even then, with full-time assistants at both campuses, we saw immediately that it was hurting both library programs not having a full-time librarian at both places.
And so, go ahead, sorry.
We were able to use data, and we were able to show that our circulation was down. And that was just, you know, one respect. We were still busy libraries, but just the circulation was down. We didn't have that relationship with the students, which is so important for a librarian to have in order to promote those resources. And I wasn't collaborating with as many classroom teachers, as I'd wanted. And so we were able to advocate that other library position be replaced. And so that only lasted for 1 year, and I'm back full-time at one library now.
Excellent, excellent. So talk to me about some of the innovations that have now made their way into libraries and are actually kind of transforming libraries from the way we might have thought of them when we were kids.
Sure. Well, right now we're seeing a big push for makerspaces in libraries, and this is an opportunity for our students to really take control of their learning because they're getting to explore different pieces of technology or just different creation tools. And we have students who are just using Legos to build, or they're using apps on iPads and they're creating videos and stop motion animation. It's really just unlimited. They're working on computer coding, and they are focusing on what they want to learn.
Yes.
And that's where we think education needs to go. We want our students to take control of what they are learning and really feel invested in the learning process.
I totally love watching an iPad go from a consuming device to a creation device.
I agree. Yes.
Good. Well, were there any tweets out there, and we're not going to call them out by name, where you thought you're still in the past? I wish you'd kind of come around.
Well, like I said, I really noticed it when with that first Twitter chat that that Vanessa was leading, and just that focus on we want librarians to really focus on getting those books checked out. And I thought, well, okay, yes, but like at my library, I have a library assistant. And so a lot of times if I'm out of the library, she's the one who, she's checking out those books, and I may be in a classroom and teaching right alongside the classroom teacher while she is making sure that those resources are still available to students. And so when I was looking at some of those tweets, I thought, we really need to get the word out about the teaching aspect of teacher librarians.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't understand that's what we do.
I found a tweet early on that I liked. One teacher said that their library has a student self-checkout counter. So could you imagine if a library had an aide and an LMS, how much more could be done if neither of them had to worry about checking out books?
Oh, it would be outstanding if you had that, or even if you had that full-time assistant, but maybe if you're a super busy library and have a huge circulation where some of the students are taking care of some of those responsibilities. I know I've spoken to librarians who they're the only person in that library. They don't have an assistant. And especially with elementary schools, those kids are checking out books all the time because they're smaller books. And so much of their time is taken up just for that the clerical aspects.
Yes.
Of being a librarian, where they don't have time to devote as much to teaching. So, yes, that would be amazing, that just that extra ability to focus more on student learning rather than just the clerical part.
Well, I'm interested to see the shift, and I think we should have a follow-up in maybe 6 months to a year to see if any of these changes that, we talked about and how we could help our LMS, but also how our LMS can help us. And with Hofmeister's push towards professional development, I'd like to see if any of this changes over the next 6 months to a year. So maybe you come back and do another one?
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you again for taking the time to just discuss with us. And we look forward to more in the future.
All right. Thank you, Erin.
Welcome back to Okla Said, the official Okla Ed podcast. And I am your only host this week. I am pretty sad about that. I have no clue how this is going to go because I really like bouncing my ideas off of Mr. Hazelwood, and he usually keeps me in check whenever my radicalness starts to get out of control. So nobody's here to reel me in this week. Good luck, and if you want to just skip past this episode, obviously, don't do that! Anyway, all right. So this week we had a chat hosted by @Charity7, and she is she is Charity Pennington, and the chat was on the importance of librarians, the importance of school libraries. So let's go ahead and dig in. What do you think? All right, there's nobody talking back to me. So, question one, what makes a school library program effective? Gosh, what makes it effective? Do people come? Do people continue to come? That's what I would think would make it an effective program. But I really liked what a couple of our OCLED people had to say, and at Phoenix Rising said, having the ability to make connections for those who cannot make them themselves. That's very perfect. You know, the very first time into the library, your second time, third time, until you really get the hang of what this library is all about, is going to be very intimidating. And I know some high school kids, shoot, college kids. My brother-in-law just started his freshman year out at OSU this year, and that guy's using the library more than anybody I've ever seen, yet I don't know how much he used the library in his school beforehand. And so the librarian out there has been very effective in helping him realize, you know, what this space is about, and he's out there regularly. Deborah Thornton, she also said utilization. If it isn't used, it's not effective. And I would have to totally agree with you there, Deborah. And I would have to say that I thought that was a pretty good question. It got me thinking. Anyway, question two, in what ways do school librarians help their fellow educators? So this one, I can't answer. I only worked in an actual brick and mortar school for about a year as a teacher. And it was a shared library at that time, so I didn't really get to see how effective it could be. And now I am the librarian in my own little sense, so I don't know how my librarian is going to help me. But I've heard from several of my friends, and I've got a couple of friends who are LMSs in schools, and it has shocked me where libraries have gone over the last couple of years, and they're just changing like crazy. I went with a Stacy Ford tweet here, and she is at @StacyFord77. She said, teacher librarians provide a power punch to the curriculum by integrating information and research skills into the content curriculum. And I got to tell you, if I had a partner in crime out there who was not only helping my kids know what a library was, but teaching them to be scholars and then helping me also, that would be amazing. Just going to say. Chris Bird, who is at KBird74, said it's important to learn alongside fellow educators and not be the keeper of knowledge. And yeah. I mean, I think both of those things would help my fellow educators. If you're the only one that knows how to use your library and you're the only one who can run your library, maybe we should look at making it a little more effective. And is it ineffective? And if it is not ineffective, what are the things that you're doing that are, you know, so awesome, and can they be replicated? You know, I think that teachers do a lot of sharing. I'm not in a whole lot of library circles, but I'd be interested to know how many librarians are sharing their ideas and you know, what kind of stuff is out there. So, question three, how do librarians enrich student learning in your school? So again, my world is just different here. I'm not going to be able to give a great answer here, but I liked what Invisible Voices had to say, and that is at INV Young Voices, at Invisible Young Voices. That camp said, school libraries can be a sanctuary for student writers who need a quiet place, a little inspiration. So I do remember being a student in Bartlesville and using the Bartlesville Public Library, and they had these little quiet rooms. And oh man, I loved those quiet rooms. And you just went in and it was soundproof and I could just sit in there and think and write and be. And I loved that. That when I saw this tweet, it definitely put me back in that little quiet space in that library. And so I appreciated that tweet. Scott went with a Stacey Ford tweet again and wrote, P2, we have ongoing makerspaces, activities aligned to curriculum, opportunities to extend research, and research items of interest. That's awesome. I don't know what P2 is. Please forgive me. Scott usually knows these things better than I. Gosh, yeah. I mean, if your library is vast and the students can do the research, and not only research, but research items of interest, hello, that's awesome. All right, so question four was in two parts. The first part of question four was, what obstacles do Oklahoma libraries face? Well, I could imagine that they face a lot of the same problems that Oklahoma teachers face. And I saw Kim Blodgett's tweet here, and I thought probably, you know, exactly right. Funding, she said, funding, being respected as an educator, funding, and funding. Same with all of us. And so I do have a question. I should have probably asked Charity. Do the librarians and the media specialists, library media specialists, do they feel less respected as an educator? If you have thoughts on this, I mean, A, blog about it, or, you know, shoot us a comment back here and let us know what you think. Tag us on the Twitters somehow. Do LMS, library media specialists, have an inadequate educator feeling? I would just like to know. Scott went with Amanda Kordeleski, and she is A. Kordeleski on the Twitters. She said, funding, admin, and Oklahoma legislators not understanding importance of certified librarian, districts cutting positions. And as you heard in the interview, I've seen schools with a shared librarian, and that librarian has to kind of rotate between two different schools. And so if they're not in my school all the time, then they're going to be way less available to me, and not only to me, more importantly, to the students. And so having a full-time librarian, I couldn't imagine why that position would be a cut position, unless the principal or, you know, somebody wants to come in and run that library while the librarian is gone. Anyway, question 4B was, how can we overcome these obstacles? And I saw another couple of great tweets out here. And the first one I went with was Krista Steiner, and she is at Profi Steiner. She said, by spreading the word and speaking loudly, that education is changing and we must teach our students according to these changes. I was floored to see the changes that were going on inside of libraries. I mean, makerspaces, and not this quiet, you know, hub where people are shushing and such, that there's actually quite a flow of activity. And it could be a hushed activity, but it just feels vibrant and alive. And gosh, depending on how well it's run, I've seen a library that almost looks and beats like the heart of the school. In some of my school visits, I was in a library in Austin, Texas, and just thought, wow, everything revolves around this library. And it's almost like you could watch the heart of the school beating within that library. It was kind of amazing. Scott had chosen Claudia Swisher's tweet for this one, and she's at Claudia Swisher. She said, use research to prove connection between strong libraries and student achievement. Want high test scores? Fund the libraries. Wow. Thank you. That was perfectly said. I don't know what else you can add to that tweet. So I'll move on. Question five, how does your school schedule, facilitate, you know, co-teaching between the teacher and the librarian? And so I went with a tweet by Melissa Nabe, and she is at OB1_Nabe, and that's with a silent K, all you educators out there. She says, A5, flexible scheduling aids to help students train, that's a comma, I will pause. So let me start over. Flexible scheduling aids to help students train to self-check books. This frees up LMS for collaboration. Whoa, students trained to self-check books. Yeah, if your aide and your librarian don't have to check out the books because you've taught the students how to do that, then that's just one more thing that that librarian can be doing in the school, in her library, with teachers, with students. You know, that's just such a great way to give ownership to those kiddos. Daniel Covey, who is at LOS Nerds, says, right now it's difficult because we have to close the library when we want to collaborate with our media specialist. And that, again, would be hard. That's why those libraries need some sort of an aide in there, a teacher's assistant, you know, even maybe letting some of the, I don't know if it's possible because I don't operate in the National Honor Society or in JHS, but can some of those volunteer hours be, you know, done in the library? Or if it can't be for your own school because you have to do, you know, the volunteering, can you go into other libraries and be the aides there? Just a question, just a thought, but finding ways to keep that library open while the collaboration is happening is, I mean, that's got to be a must, right? All right, there I am asking a question for nobody to answer again. So let's move on to question six. One goal of Oklahoma school librarians is to provide more professional development opportunities for school librarians. What PD would you want most for your school librarian? Wow, I don't even know where to start. I saw lots of STEM. I saw lots of makerspace ones. I ended up picking Mrs. Waters, and she is at Waters English. She said, some librarians may need more PD to learn new tech resources students can use to find and curate resources. And I mean, again, I think this is some, because there are some I know out there doing this. There are some that are out there, you know, creating content. There are some that have, you know, 3D printers in there. And so maybe this is a specific need for that librarian. Scott went with a Kelsey Gord here, and she is at Kelsey Gord on the Twitters. Research-based teaching methods, current digital trends, upcoming AASL standards. Yeah, did you know the standards are changing? So, I mean, these are, again, the standards are changing. It's so crazy. It is so crazy. We are always having to learn these standards, and it's, you know, it's just another thing. And I'm pleased with learning because I constantly do want to be learning. But wouldn't it be great if we could constantly push ourselves to be learning another product or another, you know, something for teaching versus new standards? Just saying. I mean, they need to be updated. We are behind the times, and I get that. But it just seems like Oklahoma for sure. And, you know, I don't know, we just get hit with these standards changes. Jeez Louise. Anyway, Tanya Kant said, honored that I get to work with a person who exhibits leadership in innovation and technology education. She's the best. And she tagged Vanessa Perez in this, who is at V Parisi. That's one of the librarians I know. So, you know, I apologize if in my brain that your library looks like Vanessa's, because that's my bestie LMS woman right there. Amanda Kordaleski, she had also said leadership in tech means integrating tech into lessons and not making tech a one-off for the lesson or a novelty. And sheesh, yeah. I mean, some of the best PD that can be offered maybe through the LMS or to the LMS is going to be something that can have longevity. You're going to want to use these tools over and over and over and not just a one and done and now you've got to learn another new thing. It'd be nice to be able to find something and stick with it maybe five or six times instead of just a one-off lesson plan. Anyway, moving on, the new National School Library Standards will be released later this year. How can OKSL best support Oklahoma schools and libraries as these as the transition to the new standards, you know, is happening? And there were some great ideas here. I ended up choosing my buddy from Virginia, John Bennett, and he said by organizing comparison charts together with benefits of change and then facilitating focus groups to discuss questions and answers and concerns. And I think that that's beautiful. I know as Oklahoma transitioned into their new standards, the frameworks were built and there were side-by-side comparisons. So teachers could see, you know, maybe they weren't that different than before. Maybe they're just deeper now or a little more expanded, and that you didn't have to totally rewrite the book of education, that you could still use some of those old lessons, just incorporate them a little bit differently. And I think with these new standards, we'll be able to do the same thing, you know, but definitely side-by-side comparison charts helps. Scott went with Catherine here, and she is at Catherine 10611. She said, make sure they have resources to do it. Oh my word. I mean, shoot. Yes, resources so that we can make sure that we're doing exactly what we need to do for these kiddos. I mean, Oklahoma is broke as a joke right now. I mean, it's going to be hard scraping up, you know, resources for some of these things. It's kind of what I think we do the best is continue to create excellent, you know, content in the face of having zero money to do it or less money than last year, which is less than, I mean, it's always less than what the regional average is, the national average is. You know, we'll be able to do it, but it obviously could be done much better if the Oklahoma legislature could figure out our budget issues. We'll see, right? Just so you know, I am dying here without my buddy Scott. So I really hope that that dissertation is coming along beautifully, Scott, and that you'll be back with me next week because I feel like I'm drowning a little bit over here by myself. Moving on to question 9. What innovations do you hope to see in Oklahoma school libraries in the future? Again, there were tweets everywhere here. People could visualize the place that they wanted to be, and I really liked it. I went with a Sarah Nelson tweet, and she is at Sarah, mom of three boys, on the Twitters. She said, I would heart emoji, to see partnerships with Library of Congress and presidential libraries. You know, I just started listening to a podcast. Well, I didn't just start, but presidential. I love that podcast. And they are constantly in the Library of Congress and the presidential libraries talking to those librarians who are the keepers of, and there are specific people that are keepers of Madison's notes and keepers of Washington's notes. And they have read all of these pieces and are so knowledgeable. And so I love when I listen to that presidential podcast that we get to hear from some of those people. And how great would it be if our students got to hear and work with and, you know, partner with some of these people as well to, you know, make their learning a little more rich. And Scott had picked a Kenneth Ward tweet, Kenneth Ward, Middle School Principal of the Year. He is at Kenneth Ward on the Twitters. If you're not following him, you better. He said, tech can't even imagine today. Tech we can't even imagine today. Skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it is. A sentiment I wish the Oklahoma legislature would adopt. I love that. Skate to where the puck is going to be, not where it is. Yeah, when you're throwing a pass out on the football field, for all of you that don't get the hockey or whatever, your tight end and your wide receivers are already running to where the ball is going to be thrown. I mean, sometimes by the time the ball has left the quarterback's hands, the wide receiver hasn't quite turned around yet because he knows he's still got more time. And then he turns around, makes the catch, and there it is. And that is, you know, a perfect touchdown, a perfect first down, whatever. We need some first downs here in Oklahoma. I'm not asking for a touchdown right this second, but if we could get a nice, you know, a great pass, a forward pass, and get us a first down, it would sure be handy. And Kenneth Ward's tweet just gave great imagery to where we need to be and make sure our libraries can get there as well. Question 10, what advice would you give future Oklahoma teacher librarians? And so this was great. There were a few tweets in here. I would have loved to have seen a few more tweets. It would have made, a great calendar maybe. But Janet Bass at jbass2274 said, "It's like laundry, always circulating and spinning, seldom all put away, but so necessary." And I thought that was a great tweet as well, giving imagery to what we need to do. And it's not just teacher librarians here. I mean, that's great advice for teachers. That's great advice for administrators. That's just kind of great life advice. I mean, it is always going to keep going and going. And the laundry will continue to come to the laundry room. It was so beautiful because I have a basket of folded laundry in the laundry room right now. It's not put away, but it's necessary to have, and it's necessary to have clean. Scott went with a June Kim tweet here, and June Kim is at MPS Technology on the Twitters. Work with your IT directors so it will help you design and transform your space. Make sure they have funding first. You can't put the cart before the horse, right? We do see that sometimes. People want to go one-to-one maybe, but then they don't have the, you know, infrastructure inside the building to make that happen. And so check with your IT directors. If you're wanting to add a 3D printer and you buy a 3D printer, but there's no extra plugins, I'm just saying, I have very limited ability to converse by myself here on this again, because I don't have a library in my school building. But you gotta check with the people who are going to support you to make sure they have everything in need they need to be able to support you as well. This should be an ever circulating communication web going on, right? Don't answer me. You can't. Well, Scott didn't put a favorite question in here, but I did. And my favorite question of this Twitter chat was question 4B. How can we overcome these obstacles? And I love questions where we're offering solutions. And even if we can't take on every solution there is, or maybe some of the solutions don't fit our needs, it's nice to see people ready and willing to problem solve. And there were lots of great tweets that came out of that question. All right, boom sauce tweet of the nighttime. Scott chose a Invisible Young Voices post here. And if, for those of you guys that don't know, that's Michelle and her little side project that she's got. It's kind of amazing, guys. If you haven't been to Invisible Young Voices website or follow that at INV Young Voices, you totally should. Anyway, that camp said, "Not a book, but an Okla Ed student essay. It's a must read." And we've linked that essay in here. So if you guys want to click on the show notes and check it out, it's there for you. I went for my boom sauce tweet of the night with June Kim. Man, that guy is just a funny cat. He is so darn funny. Anyway, he posted, it's like a 4-minute clip from a movie, Dear Madam Librarian. And it is also linked into the show notes here. So if you want to click on it and go to it, it's sexist. It is, I mean, it, that is, though, I mean, I gotta say, that is the quintessential librarian you kind of probably imagine in your head, unless you have one of these beating heart libraries in your school. You know, it's, the librarian has a bun, she's got a nice little cardigan, not to diss cardigans, I love cardigans, and Vanessa Perez wears cardigans, but the guy that comes in wants to take the librarian out, and he sings her a song, and it's all very beautiful. And thanks, June Kim, because I fell into a deep, dark hole with that video, and it wasted way more time in my week than it ever should have. And that's it. That's our chat for this week. Next week, coming up on Okla Ed, entrepreneurship in education, taught or learned. And we've got Mr. J Real Talk coming at us again. So I'm really excited because who couldn't use a little extra cash, right? And we've got a lot of teachers who make and share lesson plans already, who are out doing things, creating things, and you should probably tune into this chat and see what you might be able to learn or share with your fellow Okla Ed educators. And that's going to happen at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. If I didn't throw that in there, Scott would be all over me and say, oh, you got to tell him when it happens, even though I make fun of you telling when it happens every single week. So there it is, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time on Sunday evenings. All right.
All right, educators, you know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
Only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, okay.